And I am joined on the phone, hopefully, by Andrea Burkhart. Are you there?
I am.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing all right, actually.
Good.
So just to start things off, could you please introduce yourself, ACT, and what you do as an organization?
Sure. Well, my name is Andrea Burkhart. I'm the Executive Director of ACT Alberta, and ACT stands for the Action Coalition on Human Trafficking. So we are an organization, a not-for-profit organization, that works closely with law enforcement, government, survivors of trafficking, and the public to identify and respond to the issue here. Well, I'm speaking to you from Alberta, but we work closely with organizations across the country on this issue as well. So we do a number of things. We do public education on the issue, but we also do a fair bit of work around policy to ensure supports are available to victims. And we provide training and education to professionals so that they know how to identify victims of trafficking, as well as providing referrals and filling in some of the gaps in services for victims when they're identified.
So you're you're familiar with human trafficking and the symptoms and people who go through the system.
It is the focus of our organization. We've been doing this work for about 4.5 years now. And so our focus of the whole organization is human trafficking in its various forms and then raising awareness of how to identify the issue.
Do you have any specific experiences with just, let's say, women in general who have been through the trafficking system?
So trafficking is a really complex issue and can take a number of different forms. We've seen human trafficking affect men as well as women, but it is really a gendered issue, and I think statistically across the world we've seen more human trafficking of women, and it can take various forms, including women who are trafficked into sexual exploitation, women who are trafficked through live-in caregiver systems or temporary work programs, women who have been trafficked through marriage systems, so this internationally as well as in Canada. So there's a number of phenomena related to this issue, and we have seen cases right across the country where women have been trafficked into all of these aforementioned situations that I just highlighted.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any trends recently? Like, is the number increasing, or is the amount of women decreasing, or anything to that kind of effect?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question, and it bears, you know, some critical analysis of the answer. I think we're seeing increasing cases. I don't think that means that the phenomenon itself is actually increasing. I think that our awareness of it is increasing. The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime does highlight human trafficking as the fastest growing criminal activity internationally. But we also acknowledge that our awareness of it is growing quickly. And so we're able to identify more cases that perhaps historically weren't even being identified, or they were being called other issues. There's some really close connections to things like domestic violence, to immigration issues, to refugee issues, to women's rights issues. So oftentimes I think human trafficking has been overlooked by examining some of these other issues. And maybe we're missing the specifics of human trafficking.
Mm-hmm. And you did mention that you do believe that this is a gendered issue, and then it does relate to women's rights. So why is this, like, if it is more painful for women than it is for men, do you know the reasons why, or do you know what kind of situations lead up to that?
Well, I think what we're talking about is a human rights abuse, and the experiences of men and women in these situations does look very different. We're just seeing some attention being paid now to male migrant workers in Canada who have fallen victim to exploitation. I think that the cases we've seen involving women have been around sexual exploitation. They've been women who've been trafficked into, selling sex. And I think that has an extra layer of complexities that anyone working in the sexual assault center would probably confirm, that if the site of the abuse is the body itself, it carries with it a whole other set of trauma. And we work closely with trauma psychologists here, and there's been some great leadership on that issue here in Canada, looking at the trauma of survivors of sexual exploitation and the psychological effects that has. So, something for your listeners to be aware of is that there's a new organization. It's come out of Alberta, but it's Canada-wide as well, and it's looking specifically at what are some of the traumatic effects suffered by victims of sexual exploitation, particularly women. So women who may have been trafficked or coerced into the sex trade. And that organization is called Chrysalis. So if anyone's interested in the psychological effects of trafficking, I would encourage them to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Do they have a website or anything to contact them?
Yeah, you can go to... sorry, they've got a number of different websites. They've just been involved in the National Freedom Relay, chrysalisnetwork.org. Okay. So that's it's a psychological support line.
Okay.
For people who've suffered through some of these experiences. So mm-hmm. that's one of the effects. We've also seen challenges with people needing to get through the immigration systems, women who've been trafficked internationally, and that's one of the areas that ACT Alberta has been working on, is to try to encourage a system that doesn't perpetuate human trafficking. One of the roles that we play in the community across Canada is connecting people back to other resources that exist. The Canadian Council for Refugees is doing phenomenal work on some really important policy issues that I would encourage all your listeners to check out as well. There are systemic things that we're doing with the immigration system that can either discourage or encourage trafficking, and it's important for Canadians to be aware of really what our immigration system, how it functions, mm-hmm. and the effect that it has on women mm-hmm. who might find themselves in these situations.
At the top of the hour, I mentioned this contest going on in Edmonton, and I think you're aware of it. This contest at the radio station called Win a Wife, where they're doing... they're partnered with a mail-ordered bride company, and what they're doing is they're allowing the winner of this contest the chance to go to Moscow and to essentially partner up or to meet a woman and to marry her. And are you aware of this contest, and do you have any thoughts about it?
Yeah, we are aware of the contest, and it's actually just come to our attention that they changed the name of the contest. It's now called... It was called Win a Wife. It's now called Win a Russian Romance. It doesn't matter what you call the contest. It's mm-hmm. the essence of it is the same, where it is brokering a connection to a company that it's a business that has women in Russia who have entered this system and arranged, you know, internet arranged marriages, mail order brides. I think all your listeners are familiar with what these systems are. Our perspective on it is that there's no regulation of these businesses. There's no way for anybody, Canadians, contestant entries or the company itself, there's no way to know how these women are entering into the system in Russia. We've seen these companies across the world. We've seen major credit card companies withdraw their support because it's a financial transaction. It often involves a credit card exchange, right? So we've seen major credit card companies say, hold on a second, we don't want to be a part of this system because it objectifies women or because there could be links to human trafficking. Albertans and Canadians right across the country are outraged about this radio contest. And our perspective is that, you know, like other systems, the mail order bride system really demands some critical inquiry about how these women are finding themselves in these situations in the first place. And the simple truth is that there's no assurity. We can't possibly know other than being told that the company's in good standing. That doesn't provide any assurances.
Mm-hmm. There have been numerous articles that have been written with other migrant rights organizations, and they've come out and they have said that this contest is essentially almost the same as human trafficking. What are the links between this kind of mail order bride system and human trafficking, if there are any?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. Like some of the other systems that are related to human trafficking, and I'm thinking of live-in caregivers or temporary work programs. In Ontario, there's a significant seasonal worker agriculture program. So some of these systems of migration can expose inherent vulnerabilities of people. And where there are vulnerabilities, and particularly where there's money to be made, there will be entrepreneurial people or companies or criminal institutions who step up to exploit those vulnerabilities and to turn a profit off of them. So like any of these other systems where there's vulnerabilities, there is the opportunity for them to be exploited. So there's absolutely a connection between these systems. And again, I think it's great to have conversations like the one we're having now, because it encourages people to think critically about these things. We've heard these contests being referred to as, well, it's no different than using internet dating sites.
They said it was no different than The Bachelor or The Bachelorette on TV.
Well, I mean, I think the difference with those TV shows, not to debate detail, but they're filmed and they're in a sense audited by advertisers and by the public viewing and by the networks. And I would argue that comparing one's contest or one's station to The Bachelor or The Bachelorette is probably not the most favorable comparison. It's maybe not something to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
We've also seen cases in Alberta across Canada and internationally. We've seen cases where women have been trafficked through dating sites, where there have been people who have been deceptive or coercive or dishonest or have abused their power and created terrible situations of exploitation and abuse. So, mm-hmm.
Do you have any specific examples of that? Like anyone that you've worked with or any stories that you have?
Yeah, we hear stories frequently, and again, I would point your listeners back to the local organizations, to act as a resource as well, but to the local organizations in Ontario who are working with survivors of sexual abuse, sexual assault, or sexual exploitation. And I would say that there's a fair bit of sexual exploitation. There's a fair bit of pimping that occurs online. There's a fair bit of trafficking of underage girls that occurs online through coercion or deceit or abuse of power. And those are terms that I keep repeating, because that's how the United Nations defines human trafficking, is recruitment or transportation through deception and coercion and abuse of power for the purposes of exploitation. And that exploitation can take so many different forms that it's, online exploitation or the recruitment of girls and women into sexual exploitation is nothing new. Human trafficking can shine an additional lens where there has been, particularly terrible abuse of power or assault. So I think that the examples are myriad. There have been, we've worked with women here, and our partner organizations have worked with women here, and in fact across the country on specifically exploitation through online systems.
Mm-hmm. So this mail order bride / internet arranged marriage system and the human trafficking system, what are the similarities between them, or what are the differences between them? Like, is there any way we can define them and differentiate them?
Well, I think like the other phenomenon, you don't want to draw equal signs in between these issues, right? We don't want to say that all temporary foreign workers have been trafficked, but we want to look critically at that system as an example where trafficking has occurred and can occur. And the mail order bride system, I would shine the same light on. It's a system where human trafficking can occur, and we need to look critically at it, and we need to consider all the vulnerabilities or all the push and pull factors that provide an institution like this to exist. And we need to, I think, also think specifically about the amount of money that is exchanged. There's an exchange of money here. There's a profit to be made, and where is that profit made? So there are definitely similarities between the systems. We've also seen, and I can't speak for the organization, but I work with organizations here in Alberta who have seen mail order bride systems where, maybe the women have entered the system knowing fully what the arrangement might be like, and then upon entry into Canada, there are women who find themselves in abusive situations, and it can become very challenging to leave an abusive situation if you're not familiar with the language, if you don't know where to go for help, and if you feel like your immigration status is precarious.
Mm-hmm.
So those are certainly other, it's not a human trafficking issue, that's an abuse issue, but like I said before, the intersections between human trafficking and these other issues are so strong. The links between human trafficking and domestic violence are incredibly present. And so it's not, you can't draw clear-cut boundaries or borders around any of these issues.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, you mentioned that the contest name was actually changed. Do you know why it was changed, or do you know how this change came about?
Yeah, we received some correspondence from the radio station suggesting that, you know, people were tremendously offended by it. There was, I think, close to 8,000 signatures on an online petition asking the radio station to shut down the contest, and their response to that was, you know, here, we'll change the name to reflect what they say is the reality, that it's connecting people to a romantic experience. The rules of the contest haven't changed. The companies involved haven't changed. Nothing's changed except for the name, right? So, certainly the phrase "win a wife" carries with it its own offensiveness, but our concern is that the actual transaction taking place is one that we have no assurances of, that there hasn't been any coercion, deception, abuse, fraud, or abuse of power.
Mm-hmm. And this is a major radio station in Edmonton. And do you think that these type of contests, "win a wife," or as it's called, "win a Russian romance" now, do you think that this helps to perpetuate a culture or a belief where it's okay to treat women and to treat people like commodities and to treat them like prizes in contests?
Well, I think, you know, I think you've answered your own question. The Bear is one radio station, Edmonton. It's a major radio station, yeah, but it's not completely a shock that a radio station would use a tactic like this to, you know, to increase its exposure. We see advertisers all the time using, maybe not quite so explicit, but different forms of advertising that portray women in a certain way. So I'm sure that you've explored these issues before on your show, and I'm sure that your listeners would probably agree with you. It sounds like, you know, you're saying that this perpetuates a culture that places women and people like commodities, and certainly the idea that one could win a wife, whether the name is changed or not, the sentiment is the same mm-hmm. behind it, that you're winning a person, you're winning a wife. So I think that we've seen a lot of Edmontonians rally against this issue, and a lot more Edmontonians talking about it, which is so valuable that Edmontonians, Albertans, Canadians are talking about this issue, and they're thinking about what these contests mean.
Mm-hmm. It struck a chord with me personally because I am a woman who does radio, and to think that there's a radio station that's still going out there and doing and saying, you know, it's possible to win a wife, it's horribly offending. And do you think that more people should be offended about this? Not just women or not just feminists, but just people in general should find something really offending about this issue?
I think if people find it offensive, and I would encourage you or your listeners or anybody with an interest in, you know, women's rights or media or any or really any of these issues to get in contact with the CRTC. They do take complaints about advertising, and if it's offensive to you, then please stand up and say something about it. We've seen actually almost immediately after this contest was put to air, the government of Alberta took an immediate stand against it, and Minister of Employment and Immigration here in this province said they were going to withdraw any advertising they had been doing on that station. So I think, you know, it's another way that people can act is if you don't, you know, target the advertisers if it's something that you don't agree with. And that applies to any human rights issue, whether we're talking about clothes made from trafficked labor internationally in sweatshops, or we're talking about radio stations whose advertisements listeners find offensive. We all have some capacity to speak with where we, you know, where we put our support, where we put our dollars, what we contribute to as consumers.
Mm-hmm. So we just mentioned that there are things we can do on a smaller personal scale when it comes to stopping human trafficking. Is there any other things we can do, like within our own communities or on a larger scale?
Well, I would say, you know, talking about the issue the way that we're talking about it is so valuable. It's so important that we take time to think critically about systems, and not just the Miller to Bread system, but the other systems that can perpetuate exploitation, that we think critically about our own role in some of these systems. And I'll bring it back a bit broader to looking at temporary foreign labor in this country, that there's opportunities there for exploitation and for human trafficking, and where do our dollars go when we purchase coffee, for example? Is it going to supporting companies that support exploitation of labor? I would encourage your listeners to think equally critically about the things that we buy that are made overseas, and to really support the local organizations or international organizations, if that's where your interest takes you. But to support what already exists, there are phenomenal organizations already doing work on human trafficking in Canada, and a great deal of them in Ontario. And so I'd be happy to point your listeners to some of those organizations. Follow ACT on Facebook and Twitter, and stay in touch about news like the Bear or other cases of human trafficking as they come up. We're happy to connect people to other resources and to educate them. But to really, to look at our own backyards and to look at where are there vulnerable people in our own communities. It might not be a human trafficking shelter, but your homeless shelter does outreach to vulnerable populations. And the other organizations that are helping people in poverty or in situations of inequality are like-minded. There are a great deal of organizations working to prevent vulnerabilities and to protect people who are at risk of exploitation. There's a great deal that people can do. I was really motivated and really inspired by the amount of support that came from Canadians right across the country about this, about this radio station. And I think it's opened people's eyes to the fact that this is a much bigger and deeper issue than just one radio station and one contest. It's shining the light much broader on the issue. So I would just encourage critical thinking and discussion and dialogue and action on the issue.
Mm-hmm. And as a final note, is there anything else that you would like to say or you'd like to add onto this issue or just in general?
I would like to thank you for contacting me and for taking up this issue and presenting it to your listeners. It's not always easy to, to look at the scope of these issues, to examine our own participation in these processes, and to really think critically about the systems that can support vulnerabilities and can support or encourage exploitation. So, but I'm thrilled that Canadians really, from coast to coast to coast, seem very engaged on this issue, and I'm always happy to share what we're doing, what we're doing here in Alberta, and to also encourage people to connect to the local organizations in their own communities.
Well, I wanted to thank you for coming on and for speaking with us today.
Great.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks very much for having me. And if your listeners want more information about what we're doing, it's actalberta.com or actalberta.org. And people can get in touch with us that way, and I can connect them onto other resources as well.
And I hope in the future we can have more discussion about these kinds of issues that come up and talk about them more.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have yourself a good evening.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.